For chapter nine. I always try to keep aware of what's going on in the world. Certainly, I believe things, many things taking place relate to us as Christians and what may be in store for us. And I'm going to mention some things this morning. I'm not trying to make any predictions. I'm old enough to realize that I don't like making a fool of myself. And so try to be very careful about what I say. But I think there's some things I think we all need to be aware of what's going on and the possibility of what God might be doing through some things that are going on in this world today. The book of Esther is a very interesting book for many reasons. Two things that cause it to stand out: it is only two books in the Bible that have a woman's name in the title, Esther and Ruth. A very interesting thought there. But then something else about the book of Esther is the fact that God is never mentioned by name in the entire book. Never says God, Lord, or anything like that. It doesn't mean God's absent. In fact, quite to the contrary, God is throughout the book of Esther, but he's never mentioned by name. The events recorded in this book took place after the Babylonian captivity. The king that is mentioned, Ahasuerus, reigned from 485 BC to 465 BC, and probably the events cover about 10 years of that 20-year period during the reign of this particular king. Ezra and Nehemiah deal with the people of Israel going back to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. And so that covers the rebuilding of the temple and the rebuilding of the walls around the city and so forth, those two books. Esther deals with those who remained in, of course, what was Babylon, then was conquered by the Medo-Persians. So at this time, it's the Persian Empire. But these people remained. They did not go back to Jerusalem. And they stayed in the Persian Empire. And this takes place in Persia, the events of this book. As we read about this, it's about a man named Haman who plots against the people of Israel, hates them, and talk a little bit more about that in a moment, and desires to have them exterminated, and how God foils that plot. At the end of it, well, let's go ahead and read some passages here, and then I'll pick it up from there. Start in verse 1 of Esther chapter 9. Of course, this is after all the events that I just made reference to have transpired. The extermination of the people of Israel has been thwarted. It says, now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar. This is the 12th month in the Jewish calendar, which is for them right now. This is the last month of the year for the Jews, according to their calendar. It says, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, that is the decree to have all the people of Israel exterminated, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, which it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt. And no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all the people. And all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and officers of the king helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house. This would be the uncle of Esther. And his fame went out throughout all the provinces, for this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. And in Shushan the palace the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. Now drop down to verse 20. Esther chapter 9 verse 20. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that this should keep, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly. So Mordecai establishes this festival known as Purim, which is this coming Tuesday. Is Purim. As verse 22, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning unto a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them. Because Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast Pur, that is the lot, that's what Pur comes from, this casting of a lot, which was to be the day that all the Jews are to be executed, but actually it's a day of their release. That is to consume them and to destroy them. Verse 25, but when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter, and for that which they had seen concerning this matter, and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed, and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so it should not fail that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail them among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew, wrote with all authority to confirm this second letter of Purim. And he sent the letters unto all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with words of peace and truth to confirm these days of Purim in their times appointed, according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, as they had decreed for themselves and for their seed the matters of the fasting and their cry. And the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. So this is a festival that the people of Israel still celebrate to this day. It's not one of those under the law of Moses. This was added by Mordecai just 400 some years before the birth of Jesus Christ. But it's still celebrated today, and the celebration will begin this coming Tuesday. Our March 3rd is their Adar the 14th. Interesting circumstances surrounding this thing, with what's taking place in the Mideast right now. On February the 19th, President Trump warned Iran that if they didn't scale back their development of nuclear weapons, bad things were going to happen to them. And they have. It's not over yet. You know, there's been bombing been going on in Israel, probably even right now. You know, Iran retaliated. But it's just interesting that this is taking place. It is not on. Sorry about that. But so this, what's taking place in the book of Esther is the country that's being bombed right now. Same people. Iranians, formerly known as Persians. In conjunction with this festival of Purim. Like I said, Trump announced this February the 19th. He gave him 10 to 15 days. Now, did he do this deliberately ahead of Purim? I have no idea. But it's just interesting. Then you had last night the alignment of the planets. I don't know if you paid any attention to that. I wasn't able to, I forgot to look at the right time. But I think Kennedy saw it, maybe some of you others did. You say, well, what's that mean? Probably absolutely nothing. But people do like to make something about these things. But then also on the third, the day of Purim, is another blood moon. And some people like to make some things about those things too. But it's just, it's interesting that you got all of a sudden these things are kind of coming together. Again, I'm not trying to say there's significance to it, but there could be. I just don't know. But it's interesting when you think about these things. But in that all aside, the book of Esther has some interesting lessons to teach us. And I want to take some time and go through the book and just touch on some of these things and think about the workings of God in the lives of his people. And you start out with the book of Esther as the queen gets banished. The Ahasuerus's first queen gets banished because she disobeyed him. And then he goes out to select the second queen, and Esther, an orphan girl, a Jewish orphan girl, gets selected as queen to live in the palace. And you look through the events in the book of Esther and you think, man, what coincidences? All these things lining up. Well, I don't think it's all these things just happening to line up. I think it illustrates the mighty hand of God at work in the lives of his people. And so that first step, that first thing that took place in the book of Esther, of her being selected to replace the queen that was removed, put her in a place God needed her for such a time as this. That's the book of Esther is where that phrase comes from. So this orphan girl becomes queen. Now look at chapter 2 of Esther. Chapter 2. Now I won't go into the details about Esther becoming queen and so forth because that covers the first two chapters. But then in verse 21, we read this in Esther chapter 2. In those days, that is after Esther has become queen, in those days while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those who kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when the inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. So Mordecai just happens to be sitting there at the gate, and he hears about this conspiracy between these two to try to assassinate the king. And he immediately takes the message to Esther to warn her, or have her to warn the king. They investigate, an inquisition is made, it says, and the result is those two guys were hung. Just happened to be at the gate to be able to hear the message. And it just happens that his niece, who he raised, was orphaned, so he raised her, is the queen giving him an inside track to pass the message on.
Then we come to chapter 3. Haman comes on the scene here. Verse 1, after these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Now, let me just give you a little bit of background on this guy, or the people of Haman. He's called an Agagite. If you go back and look at the time of Saul when he was reigning over the nation of Israel, he was supposed to go out and kill all the people, the Agagites. But he spared one, the king. And he wasn't supposed to. And that act of Saul, clear back then, his disobedience put Haman in the place that he's in. And he is now being elevated within the kingdom of Ahasuerus above all the other princes and given a special seat and special privileges. Read on here, verse 2. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman. For the king had no so commanded concerning him, but Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. So everybody's bowing down to this guy, man. He's eating it up. Look who I am. Except for one man, Mordecai the Jew, who only bows to one, and that's God. And so he refuses to bow to him. Drop down to verse 5. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he sought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone. So he's not going to do that. For they had showed him the people of Mordecai, wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. So Mordecai's made him mad because he's not bowing. But there's also this centuries-old grudge against the Jews for what they'd done to his ancestors. Look at verse 8. And Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of that kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws, therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. Anti-Semitism is nothing new. And notice, the only thing that's happened is he refused to bow to Haman. And it wasn't a personal thing. It was a religious thing for Mordecai. But he conflates it to all the people of Israel as all of them breaking all the king's laws and being disobedient. Not a lot different than what's going on today. Verse 9. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasury. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. So he gives Haman, the king gives Haman full authority to do whatever he wants to. Yeah, they shouldn't be doing that. Let's make them bow. Let's take care of that thing. As he's gained the influence and relished in the power. Now, Mordecai is mourning what's going on. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry and came even before the king's gate. For none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Haman's got this decree against the Jewish people signed. For some reason, though, it's not going to be executed for a year. And in that meantime, as the people have gotten word of that, everybody's mourning, Mordecai included, and he's at the gate and he's mourning. And Esther hears about this and sends some of her attendants down to see what's going on. And he sends word back what's happened to him. She sent clothes down to him because he's not supposed to be there in sackcloth and ashes. And he refuses it, explains to her all that's taking place. And then, so she plans a banquet. Now, the king does not know that Esther is a Jew yet. She's kept her identity secret in that respect. He's just one of the ladies of his kingdom that he liked and became his queen without knowing who she is. And so in chapter 5, look at chapter 5, verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. Now, what I skipped over in chapter 4 is that, you know, Mordecai has appealed to her to go before the king on behalf of her people. And she's concerned about this because unless the king invites you, you're not supposed to go in. But he says, haven't you come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Isn't this the appointment of God to put you in this position, this place, to spare your people? He says, okay, if I perish, I perish. But I accept the challenge, I accept my responsibility, I'm going to go. So she goes before the king, dresses up and enters in there, and gains his favor. She's appeared unannounced, but he accepts it and allows her to come in. Verse 2, and it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom. Almost anything you want, Esther, I'll gladly do it for you. And Esther answered, if it seemed good unto the king, let the king and Haman, the guy who is devising this against her people, come this day into the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, cause Haman to make haste that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. So she invites him in, tries to get him to come. And meanwhile, Haman's got these plans. He's already got the decree to get rid of the Jews. But Mordecai is still a thorn in his side. He's still refusing to bow to him. And so he's going to take care of Mordecai right away. Drop down to verse 9. Then went Haman forth that day, joyful with a glad heart. I've been invited to the banquet with the king and the queen. And, oh man, this must be some special thing that God, he's going to do for me and going to celebrate. So he's joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself. And when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh, his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared for by myself. And tomorrow am I invited unto her wrestle with the king. So he's really glorying in all this that seems to be befalling him, all these good things. Verse 13. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. I mean, all his joy, all his celebration was squelched because one man won't bow down to him. We're talking about that in Sunday school already. You can have all kinds of wonderful things happening in your life, and this one little speck takes it all away. All the joy and celebration. How many times do we do that? We forget about all the blessings of God in our life, all the wonderful things that we have and enjoy, and focus on the little speck on the blackboard. The teacher is called to... He had the students before in class and did that, put a dot on the back blackboard. And she said, now tell me what you see. And of course, oh, there's a dot on the blackboard. Yep, that's right. Well, what else do you see? What about the rest of the blackboard that's blank? You focused on the one tiny little spot. And that's what Haman's doing here. Verse 14, then said Zeresh's wife and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. And tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. And then go thou and merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. 50 cubits. If a cubit's 18 inches, that's 150 feet. Man, he's going all out on this thing. Think about that. 150 feet high. It's only got to be 10 to do the job. But we're going all out on this because that little speck irritates me so much that I can't stand it. So he makes these plans for the execution of Mordecai. Then we come to chapter 6. So all this is going on. The banquet, he's going to go to that, but in the meantime, he's preparing these gallows to get rid of Mordecai. And he's going to have this celebration. But before the banquet, the night before the banquet, chapter 6, verse 1, on that night, could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. So he just happens to be lying awake the night before the banquet. Well, if anything will put me to sleep, it'll be somebody reading those chronicles to me. Bring those books in here. So they're reading and just happens to come across the account of Mordecai reporting this assassination plot. And so as it comes across that, look at verse 2 or verse 3. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this. Then said the king's servants that minister unto him, oh, there's nothing been done for him. I'm going to remedy that. This guy spared my life. He deserves to get some recognition for that. And so the plans are made. The next morning, as Haman is coming into the court to attend this banquet, the king says, who's in the outer court there? He says, oh, Haman's here for the banquet. Bring him in here. I want to talk to him. Get his advice on this. Because remember, he's been elevated pretty high in the kingdom. The king favors him quite highly. And so he brings him in for his advice. Look at verse 4. And the king said, who's in the court? Now Haman was coming to the outer court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. So he's there for the banquet, but first he's got some business he wants attended to. I need to get approval to get rid of this guy that is such a thorn in my side. Verse 5, and the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man? Now notice this. He's not saying who it is. He just says, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to honor more than to myself? What? There can't be anybody else that he could possibly want to honor more than me. Pride goeth before destruction, the Bible says, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 7, and Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head, thinking that he's preparing his own celebration. Man, I'd love to have that. And he comes up with everything that, you know, he can imagine. Verse 9, and let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, and they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Again, thinking he's just building himself up more and more. And then watch the sudden twist of fate. Verse 10, then the king said to Haman, make haste, and take the apparel, and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew. You couldn't have hurt him more than stabbing him in the heart. Let nothing fail of all thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback to the street of the city and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto them, if Mordecai be the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. While they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hastened to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther . What an ominous warning. And you think about all the things that have taken place. Esther, appointed king, queen. Mordecai hears about the plot. Haman being exalted, getting this decree against the Jews, plotting Mordecai's death. And just happening to walk in, you know, the king waking up and getting the chronicles read, deciding to honor Mordecai, and Haman just happening to walk in at the time the king's going to ask somebody advice what to do, and himself having to bestow this honor on this man that refused to honor him. And he despised for that. Just coincidence, isn't it? No. The banquet is held. Esther reveals Haman's plot to exterminate all of her people. The king is angered and condemns Haman. Look at chapter 7 and verse 7. The king, arising from the banquet of wine, as things have been revealed to him, what Haman was planning, arising from the banquet of wine, his wrath went into the palace garden. So he's mad. Because he favors Esther and her people. Especially this man who had revealed this plot against him. And he's mad. And he went out into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make requests for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, "Will he force the queen also before me in the house?" As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, "Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him thereon." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. What an interesting twist of fate. And all of these things that just happened. No. That was the mighty hand of God through all of it. And look at verse 1 of chapter 8. "On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai, and Esther sat Mordecai over the house of Haman." What an amazing story. The mighty hand of God at work behind the scenes. President Trump isn't perfect. By far, he misses it. But in some ways, I think he's just like Esther, who has come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Again, I don't know where all this is going, but I think something's going on right now. As the people of Israel are being freed, not only the people of Israel, but the world, being freed of an awful threat. Because the people of Iran, the Muslims, do not care about life. They only care about advancing their religion. And they will do it by the sword, as they have done since the beginning. That's the way Muhammad did things. But God is in God is still at work. And as long as we have a chance on this earth as God's people, we need to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ to those around us. Because there might, may not be much time left. God can do what he wants to do anytime that he wants to do it. That trumpet could blow before we say the closing prayer this morning, and we could be in heaven. Just like that. And it's over. And your friends, your loved ones, your work co-workers that are unsaved are going to be left behind. Folks, you're the only one standing between some people and eternity and hell. There's people you know that I'll never have an opportunity to reach. They wouldn't listen to me. But they'll listen to you because they know you. We need to serve God while we got the chance. There are no accidents with God. What seemed like a chance circumstance was actually divine arrangement, as we see that throughout this entire book. That's the lesson of Purim. That God protects his people, and God will not allow them to be exterminated. Doesn't mean not bad things won't happen to us. Doesn't mean it won't get hard. But it does mean that we've got a home in heaven with Jesus Christ when it's all over. God's hand is present everywhere. You may not see it. You may not recognize it. But God has put you in the places where you are for a purpose. And we just need to allow God to use us as he desires for his purpose. Amen? Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord God,